Welcome to Porsche Pattern with Bracken Helms, the show where we hear Bracken and his distinguished guests from the Porsche community patter on about Porsches and all things automotive. Porsche Pattern is sponsored by Circuit 64. Circuit 64 creates authentic automotive apparel made for like-minded automotive enthusiasts. The links for Circuit 64 are in the show notes. Okay, let's get to it.
Tony Kallas, part three. All right, in this one we talk where we dive a little bit more into the G-body, and then we go to Porsche topics or where Porsche's at today and our thoughts and feelings. We also dive into some of more personal things with Tony or some of the decisions or changes he's made in his life, which I think is super cool because I love people that are self-reflective or have made tough decisions. I mean, some of the things that we talk about, it's only briefly, but they're not easy things to do. And it takes a strong person to self-reflect and think about things that you could be doing better in your life, not just for yourself, but for others or for humanity in general, I guess. So here is part three of Tony Kallas. Next question is the G-body. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they perfected that car from like day one, 63, 64, 65.
Yeah.
All the way. And they just tuned it. But yet, like, I get on like Instagram or whatever, and someone's like, oh, did you hear what happened on Bring a Trailer? Did you see that a G-body brought $100,000? It wasn't that long ago, as we talked about earlier, where long hoods or pre-impacts were only like 10 or 15 grand cars.
Right.
So there's always going to be that point. And so you're okay with like a 911S bringing 200, but a G-body brings more than 50 and you're losing your mind. The age I'm at, I'm a big G-body fan and I see the value in the other ones. But when people act like G-bodies weren't like handmade and they weren't like, I mean,
they definitely were. A lot of that car was handmade. And you can tell by the orange peel on the paint. You can tell by the videos that we've seen of them building them. And let's just clarify this. That's 74 through 89, not 89 and a half when the 964s came out. So I just want to clarify that, right? With the accordion bumpers.
Yeah.
To me, it's a real Porsche. But we all know that air-cooled 911 is... Here's how I put it. If you could buy a new SC today, do you realize what that car would cost? It's $350,000, $450,000 car. So that will tell you the amount of effort and how much hand-built. I mean, it wasn't totally hand-built. We know that. But yeah, that car was assembled by hand.
I mean, people are okay with 964 prices going up and 993 right. prices going up. And we've gotten used to long hoods going up. And it just seems like everybody's losing their mind that G-bodies are starting to go up. And it's like, if you find a fine example, like that car was honed for many years. Like that was kind of the pinnacle mm-hmm. before they made their next step.
Well, that's when they delivered the aluminum crankcase. Well, I'm sorry. If we go back originally to the 3-liter 77, 76. Okay, but I'm talking about a mass production. That's when that there's a lot of introductions in that car, in the SC. So I'm with you.
915 or G50?
No question. All of these questions are relative to the period of time. So when the G50 came out, we thought it was just amazing. But I have to tell you, I'm a 915 fan. And to me, the 915 is one of those areas of where it's bare bones. It's more of the road feel. I love 915s. Do I think the G50 isn't great? No, I think the G50 is great and it's strong. The BorgWarner synchros and whatnot. But I love the 915 more. It's more of a visceral feel, you know, or however you want to put that.
You hear like you read the magazines, oh, you got to buy a G50. Like what? The other one's garbage? Or like you go and bring a trailer and the G50s bring so much more money. And I'm just like, everybody I interview, I've been asking that question for like a while now. Like I've not got one person that said strictly, one person said strictly G50. And that was Michael Wilhoit, which is Wilhoit Enterprise. I don't know if you know who they are.
Yeah. Up in Missouri or somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, he's since died. He's a good friend of my dad because my dad's a Porsche broker and obviously he likes low miles cars and my dad was finding cars for him. But he obviously picked the G50 because he's a total money guy. Like, okay, I can get more money for that. But yeah, so
I want you to think about the feel of the gearbox, the shifter. It's a different shifter. And yes, you have to look at the 915. It's harder for people to learn by. And I tell everybody, keep your hand off the shifter until your foot on the clutch is all the way on the floor, because you can break dog teeth. Everybody thinks that the gears are what grind when you're grinding gears. No, the gears themselves, it's a constant mesh. They're always together, rolling together. But it's the little tiny dog teeth you're shifting. And they will break if you put them under too much leverage. And that means if you're going from first to second, or second to third, or third to fourth, and you're too slow with the clutch, it'll go pop in the shifter. Now, back to what I was saying about the G50. The G50 is a different shifter. And if you really feel the G50, it's smoother and easier than the 915. Again, it's another iteration in that world of going to an easier to drive car, and the creature comforts are better in the newer cars. To me, there is something to be said for that 915 gearbox. I love it.
One of the things, like I always say, and this is what I'm about to spit out, is going to be extremely exaggerated. My mindset is, I bought an old vintage air cooled. I mean, now they're vintage. I mean, that's old. The 80s is, we're getting old now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so if I buy an old car, like I want the feel of that old car. And so like, if you're going to buy an old car, why would you be against having like an old shifter that's like a 915, where you actually have to work at it, and it becomes kind of fun to actually get it down and dial it in the way it helps with your driving skills. And the G50 is great, and I don't have anything against it, but it's got more of an average like Honda feel. Like, it doesn't take as much work.
It is more like that. I didn't want to use that term.
That's why I meant exaggerated, because I didn't want to like get too much. But it's like, yeah, no, it's more of a plain feel.
It is. More people can drive the G50 than can drive the 915 properly. And I grew up with the 915. Yes, the 901. I had a 68 911R. L is one of my first cars. And that 901 gearbox is pretty forgiving, but the G50 is just more user-friendly. That's a good way to put it.
Okay, 996 or 997?
Oh, there's no question. 997. There's no question. I mean, you know why, right?
I mean, I have a guess.
Yeah, it's just to me, it's just the evolution is better.
Right, okay. What's your favorite RS car from back in the day, like 73 RS, 911R, the 74 3-liter RS?
Oh, throw R in there with that. Even though R is right. RS, 73 is the epitome, right? The R is, but the 73 is, to me, the unique car. And it's like the girlfriend in high school you never got. I mean, this is a car we never got over here, right? Until, well, later on.
Yeah.
But as the Carrera. But to me, the 73 is cool. You can never throw an R in and me not pick it. I'm going to have to take that.
Okay.
Until the 993, right? But I still pick the R.
I call this question the Skyline Nissan GTR type of
thing. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So when it first came out, when they first started bringing them to the US, like, 10, 15 years ago, they drove it, and all the magazines were like, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yeah. It does everything for you. It's so great.
I remember that.
And then less than like 6 months later, they're like, well, it started losing comparison tests, and they're kind of like, well, it does everything for you. Well, that's why you liked it at first, because it did everything so well. Now all of a sudden it's boring. Do you feel that way with some of the newer Porsches? Like, it does too much for you?
Well,
that where it seems to blow you away when they first drive it, but then after a while it becomes more boring.
You have to realize Porsche detunes a lot of their cars. The Boxster was going to be just as powerful as the 911, but they had to detune it because you can't have a Boxster that's a lower model and you'll buy the Boxster instead of the 911. You can't do that. So they're always manipulating those numbers. Another thing that people have really gotten tired of is, this is the last 911. You remember in 79 with the turbo, this is the last 911 you're going to see. I worked at the dealer. It was $125,000 for a turbo. And we're just like, it was a lot of money then. I mean, serious money. Houses were a third of that in Texas. So I would say that people have gotten tired of Porsche saying, this is the last of, or this is the most horsepower, or this is the most incredible. But it's what it is. I agree. That is the most incredible at the time. But in the end, it starts to become a little old when you got a customer that bought a 2019 RS and thinking that's the last stick shift or PDK or whatever it's going to be. Remember the last stick shift situation? And then they came out with another one and then the T. And I try not to follow it, but I'm very technical. So I follow the technical end of them.
I mean, you're not going to know this, but I just wonder, like, would Porsche
say that? Go ahead.
I mean, unless you work on the board at Porsche, but will they ever build like the ultimate purist car and not worry about like, you know, trying to be everything there? I mean, they try a little bit with like the 911 R, but I mean, to make like a lightweight car that's not like, doesn't even have to be expensive. It's just light.
Well,
it's
small. Didn't Dodge try to do that? I mean, the problem is we've got bumper standards, ride height standards, headlight standards, all of this stuff that they, and EPA really is the leading factor here. Look at the BMW emblems. I mean, the huge roundels in the front. They're massively ugly, right? It's worse than the bangle butt. But it isn't about the looks. This is about pedestrian safety is what they're doing. So I think it's behind us and there's nothing we can do now. We have to move forward and we have to deal with 2V safety standards there, EPA standards and whatnot. I don't think it's going to be possible.
Perfect starter Porsche today.
I would say, like I said to my doctor, I'd probably pick the 87th or 89 911, unless you want creature comforts. If you want any passive safety or any airbags, anything like that, or crash avoidance or any of these things, which most people do, you're not going to want this car. But the 87th or 89 911 to me is the best starter one.
But even those are getting expensive now.
Well, what are you going to go with? A 944 that needs $20,000 worth of work? I mean,
right.
That's the tough
part. I don't know if you could buy an...
A 914, you can't buy that.
Right. I don't know if you could do an air-cooled. So what model series Porsche is your favorite?
You know what happened? Over my career, I started coming up with things for the 993 and how to fix those things. And I've been in this my whole life. I got to be known as the 993 guy. But then I got into the 996s and doing the IMS bearings and doing all this stuff. This is like, I got to pick 993, even though I think that's probably the one.
Advice for someone who wants to modify their car.
So this is very, very tough because you've got the Emery's out there and you've got the other people, Singers. Singer took it to another level, right? But personally, the Porsche is best. I'm a purist, so you're asking the wrong person. But it's best the way it is from the factory. I tell a lot of people, if it wasn't for body shops or people modifying their cars, I wouldn't have a lot more to do other than servicing. But there you go. I don't want anybody upset. I think it's best as an original car, but there's so many people that want to make it different, make it their own, personalize the car. So I don't blame them.
If you had to pick a tuner, which tuner company you like the best, like Roof, Singer?
Porsche Tech Equipment.
Porsche what?
Tech Equipment. Porsche okay. Special wishes.
Okay. Which vehicle would you buy at a Porsche dealership, like a new one, like today? What would you buy if you went into the dealership today?
Have you driven a 928? It's a very heavy car. It's a very heavy, it's a Autobahn Stormer, right? Or whatnot. So to me, that's kind of like a Cayenne feels that way or a Panamera feels that way. It would have to be probably the new ST, something like that. The ultimate RS is just, it's so difficult to get in and out of. You know, it's not all about us, right? We have partners. We have our mates. And so you need to think about them too and their kidneys and their, you know, fillings. But probably the ST.
He meant fillings with, like, he pointed it to his tooth.
Oh.
Because it could go with either, I guess. Thoughts on Porsche today and all their customers and all their different models and... It's big now.
Well, you have to realize I've spent time at the factory and I've spent time at the factory with people that were there 30, 40 years. I have to pick a very nice way to say this, but they're a different company than they used to be.
What do you think about the rise of prices?
Okay. To me, the rise is normal, but these prices they put on top of the price of the car are ridiculous. I mean, it gives a new meaning to buying a new car, right? $50,000 surcharge to buy this car. I mean, it's kind of insane. The prices, I understand what Porsche puts on them is, it seems fairly realistic. Obviously not in my world, but But the dealers are, I don't like what they're doing.
Okay. Favorite auto publication?
I'd rather probably pick a book, but 000 is pretty high up on my list.
What do you find troublesome in the automotive world or Porsche circles today?
Lack of support for independent repair shops. But you know what? Having said that, those independent repair shops need to be up on their technology and their tools and their training. So it's a two-way street.
Okay. What got you down your more spiritual path? Like you decided you weren't going to eat meat. You were going to stop lying. I mean, these are big commitments.
I'll say one thing about it. I pay attention to how we slaughtered animals and how we do things. And you can go into the grocery store and buy whatever you want and then say that you don't agree with hunting and et cetera. It was my stand on how things were done that I did for myself. So I know that I did what I could to buck the system for a while.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, around the time my dad got divorced, similar to you, like I'm not going to judge people. I'm going to stop lying. And
that's a tough one because that's a very, very, I mean, lying can be split down to the, you can really look at, well, you know, I was late because of traffic. You can say something so easily and nobody will ever know, but will it matter? It's like that tree in the forest thing.
Well, was there something that like caused you to start going down or was it like a slow transition?
I want to be a better person. And without saying anything about anybody else, I just wanted to be a better person.
So you surfed in Texas. Do you still surf?
I haven't surfed for a while. That was the beginning of my surfing. And it's very spiritual for me to sit out there and just be, I'm an introvert. I know that's very hard for a lot of people to believe, but for me to be out there, I have a tendency to overthink, but I enjoy being with myself and I enjoy being alone.
And you're like environmentally conscious, would you say that?
I do my best because...
How does that fit in with our little hobby of the auto world?
That's a rabbit hole I could go down, and okay. I think we'll save that for another time. I mean, hey, at what point is the earth here for us or we're here for it? I don't know, you know, and it doesn't care. We need to make sure we do what we can. You know, there we go.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, comment, like, and share with your friends. Feel free to send questions or suggestions to the email in the description of the show. Special thanks to our sponsor, Circuit 64. Goodbye for now. We hope we can get together again for our next episode. Now get out there and enjoy the cars and the people.